All right, we're beginning here on the top of Mem Zayin Amud Aleph by the two dots. The Gemara says, "Ein machshava olechet ela achar oved." We saw that earlier that the Mishnah says the reason behind the Tanai Beit Din is because the machshava follows the one who's doing the avoda. So that's been the assumption until now, which is that the person that is executing on the avoda, which is the Kohen, he's the one who has the possibility of machshavot with regards to this korban litova when it comes to lishma. That he has the ability to create the lishma aspect and the requirements that the Mishnah discussed in terms of what he has to have in mind, but also from the negative side, that he has the ability to mifagel the korban, to have influence or impact on the korban, to make it pasul. So matlitin deloge haitana. Our Mishnah does not follow this tano, the tanya. Amar Rabbi Yossi shemati shibaalim mifaglim. Says, I've heard, or it seems to be that he has a misora, that the baalim have the ability to create pigol. So it's not only the Kohen that's executing here, but even the Baalim have the ability to generate Pigol. Amarova, my time with the Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi. What's the reasoning behind this position? Generally, we have, till now, have associated the ability to have a machshava with the person executing on the avoda, because you're going to have a machshava while you're doing the avoda. But the Baalim are not involved in the avoda, so how do they have a machshava that's impactful? Damar kra, because the pasuk says by the nisachim in parshat shlach, v'ikriv hamakriv korbano l'Hashem mincha solet isaron balul brivite in shaman. So there it defines v'ikriv hamakriv. So generally we have spoken about the makriv and the hikriv as referring to the one who's doing the performance of the avoda, the kohen who's executing over here. But it's clear there in Parshat Shlach when it's speaking about the nisachim that v'ikriv hamakriv is a reference to the baalim, the one who brought the korban. He is v'ikriv hamakriv. So you see the terminology of hakrava being associated with not only the kohen who's executing on the avoda, but also the baalim who are bringing the korban. And therefore the pasuk in Vayikra Zayin that discusses pigul, whereby it says im acho yachel mipsar zevach shlama b'yom hashlishi lo yiratze. Hamakriv, we thought until now meant hamakriv, the one who's executing, the one who's doing the hakrava. But based on the pasuk in Parshat Shlach, which says v'ikriv hamakriv, over there it's clearly not speaking about the one who's executing on the avoda, but rather the owner of the korban must also provide or bring a korban nisachim along with his main animal korban. So the makriv or hikriv over there is a reference to the baalim. So if we extrapolate that to here, we would say that hamakriv is not only the kohen, but also the baalim. And that's how Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi has a source for the fact that the baalim also have the ability to generate pigul. Amar Abaye, Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi, v'Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Shim ben Elazar, kulu svirlo zemech hashev, v'ze oveit, avi machshava. So Abaye says we have a common denominator between these three positions, which is that you can have a machshava even though you're not the one executing on whatever that's being done. Despite the fact that you're not the one doing the avoda, your machshava can have impact over here. Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi, hadamran. Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi, we already explained. Rabbi Eliezer d'tnan. Rabbi Lezer is from the Mishnah that we find in Hulin. Ashochet lo oved kochavim shchitato kshera. Person who does a shchita on behalf of an oved kochavim, his shchita is good. Rabbi Lezer posel. On the other hand, Rabbi Lezer is posel. So here, the individual who's doing the shchita is the Israel. The Israel doesn't have any underword makshavot. He's doing shchita because he's doing a shchita. He has no indications here that he's doing it l'shem avodah zarah, but since he's doing it on behalf of Oved Kochavim, Rabbi Eliezer seems to indicate that the Oved Kochavim's machshava has impact over here. That's as you can see, Rashi says, that stam machshavet Oved Kochavim l'avodat Kochavim. The default machshava of an Oved Kochavim is towards avodah zarah. Va'af agav de'ihu lo shochit nami avipasol. Even though he, the Oved Kochavim, is not the one doing the Shechita, but rather the Israel, nevertheless, we say it's Pasul because of the Oved Kochavim. The owner of the animal has a Makshava, the Stam, the Vodat Kochavim, that impacts on the individual executing on the Shechita. Rabbi Shim ben Elazar, Netanya, we have a Braita in Shabbat. Klal Amar Rabbi Shim ben Elazar. The Gemara in Shabbat, many Mishnayot, many of the Braitot that are found in many of the Prakim there, are discussing the Malach of Hotzah. Malach of Hotzah is to carry from Rishut Yachid to Rishut Rabim, or to carry Dalet Amot b'Rishut Rabim. An underlying assumption over there is that there are objective standards for what is considered to be carrying. If you carry an object, the object has to be of a certain size, a certain type, in order for it to be significant enough that what you're doing is considered to be a malacha. It won't be a malacha if you're carrying something insignificant. So generally, the Mishnayot give objective standards for what those levels are. But this is what's unusual about Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, which is Klal Lamar Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Kol She'en Kasher Latznia. Something that most people do not save, most people do not preserve, they don't give significance to this size of this item. Ve'en Matznim Kimohoto, and people in general do not save this or preserve this. Hochshel Hazeh, Ve'etznio. But this individual decides that it is important to him, or he has a different view than the rest of the world. He uniquely has some attachment to this item, or for whatever reason he gives significance to it, and therefore he puts it away. And then somebody else, a third party, comes along and carries this item. So in general, in order to be chayav for carrying an item, again, either there's an objective standard which tells you that this object now is significant. There even is a view that if you make the object into something significant, then if you carry it, you're going to be chayav. Shimon Elazar has an interesting view here, which is, even though you did not consider it significant, but someone else considers it significant, then it's chayav zeh, b'machshava shel zeh. The person who carries it is chayav because another party gave significance to this item. So this particular item, which someone else gave significance to you is insignificant, to any other objective party would be insignificant. Nevertheless, since the party who it belongs to gave it significance, when you carry that object out, you're going to be chayav because of the significance assigned to it by that other party. So again, that's a similar concept where you are governed by the machshava of someone else. And so in all these cases, even though you're not the primary executor over here, your machshava has impact. In the case of carrying, owner gives chashivut to the item, even though he's not the one carrying it. In the case of avodah zarah, even though the person doing the shkita has no machshava, the owner or the oved kochavim's machshava has impact. In our case over here, even though the kohanim are doing the avodah, the baalim have the ability to have machshava that's impactful. Now the Gemara goes back and says, maybe their relationship isn't so close. It might be that this is driven by the fact that there is a mesorah from the Geonim. Whenever the Gemara says, kulan b'shita achat, anytime you find the Gemara saying that all of these have a similar view or a similar position, that's an indication of dismissal, which is that the Gemara there thinks that the halacha is like none of these individuals, and therefore they group them together to say they're all not relevant. And we'll group them together to show that they all have the same shita that is not considered the halacha. So over here, when you put the three of these together, then you're indicating that we don't think the halacha is like any of these three. But then the Gemara backs away from that and says maybe they're not so closely related, or maybe they're not all shita achat. And that might be an attempt by the Gemara to separate them out, because maybe the halacha is like one or two of them, even though the Gemara tried at first to put them together. Just avayu. Both Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar and Rabbi Eliezer definitely subscribe to Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yossi's position. Where they say this principle has impact outside of the Mikdash, where there's no explicit reference to Machshava, then certainly in the Mikdash, where there is specific reference to Machshava, and Machshava has impact, it's explicit that it has impact, and certainly they will believe that the Machshava of one can impact the Avoda of the other. On the other hand, Rabbi Yossi doesn't have to subscribe to the other two parties. Dilma Mifnimu Damrinan B'chutz Lo Amrinan. He thinks Machshava has impact in the Mikdash or in Kodesh, because that's where Machshava is mentioned explicitly, but he doesn't think that that's applicable either to Shabbat or to the Oved Kochavim by Shechita. Shimon Elazar, Itlei to Rabbi Eliezer. Shimon Elazar, who speaks in the world of Shabbat, definitely subscribes to Rabbi Eliezer, who speaking in the world of Shechita. Hashta b'Shabbat amrinan b'Avodat Kochavim ibai. If you think that this is possible, or this is true by the dinim of Shabbat and Hotza'ah, then certainly you would apply it to Avodah Zarah, because of the fact that Avodah Zarah is patterned after the Machshavot of Kodesh. And we've seen this a number of times, both here and more prominently in Masechet Avodah Zarah, that when it comes to the Chiyuvim of Avodah Zarah, that if a person does worship or is involved in Avodah Zarah, not in the normal way that one worships this Avodah Zarah, but nevertheless, it's an imitation of an Avodah that's done Bifnim, that person is Chayav for Avodah Zarah. So you see that Avodah Zarah, in some senses, borrows the concepts that you find by Bifnim, by Kodesh. And so, if you believe that by Shabbat that is completely uncorrelated with Kodesh, that the Machshava can have impact, then certainly in the case of Avodah Zarah, you would think that it's meaningful because Avodah Zarah is at least connected to Kodesh, where Machshava is explicitly stated. But the opposite is not true, which is Rabbi Eliezer, late Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Rabbi Eliezer, who thinks that by Shechita and Avodah Zarah, it is impactful, the Machshava, he doesn't subscribe to Rabbi Shimon Elazar's opinion by Shabbat. Dilma, Bavurat Kochavimu, Damart, Ke'en Bifnim, because Avodah Zarah, which is patterned after or mimics the Avodot that are done internally in the Mikdash, as Rashi notes over here, from the Pasuk, Zoveach Leluhim Yacharam, Bilti Lashem Livado, and therefore Avodot that are Ru'uyot Lamakom, someone will be a Chayav when they do them by Avodah Zarah, Ben Shedarka Bekach, Ben Shein Darka Bekach, whether that is the normal way or not the normal way to worship the Avodah Zarah. So there is this close association between Avodat Pnim and the Avodah towards the Avodah Zarah. Aval Shabbat Melachet Machshevet Asrat Torah. By Shabbat, there's a different definition of what's considered to be Melacha. That's Melachet Machshevet. That one has to have intent. One has to have a specific goal and the fulfillment of an objective that is carried out in order to be chayav by Shabbat. As Rashi notes over here, Shenismecha Shabbat, the Parshat HaMishkan V'Vayakel. The Parshat HaMishkan is juxtaposed to the Inyan of Shabbat to tell you that the Melachot of Shabbat are governed by the Melacha that is done by the Mishkan. Melachet Mechshevet Sha'ose Otam Mitkavein LeMelacha Gmura. In order for something to be considered Melachet Mechshevet, it has to be the party that is doing it, has intent that is carried out to reach a certain goal that is considered or classified as a Melacha Gmura, which is defined both by the creativity of the item that you're doing, benchmarked by that which is considered a Melacha by the Mishkan. Something where he who is executing is trying to accomplish something that is of significance. But the person who, she'ena shir zeh chashuv be'enav, the person who doesn't think this object is significant, then you can't claim that he is intending for this malacha, because he's not intending for anything. He thinks it's beneath the threshold by which malacha would be accomplished, and therefore he doesn't have any consideration of this being malachet machshevet. Because of that, we can say that even though Rabbi Eliezer has his view by Avodat Kochavim, doesn't necessarily mean that he has the same view by Malachot of Shabbat. And even though by the case of Kodoshim, the external Machshava, meaning that of the Balim, is impactful on the Avodah of the Oveid, that's because the object, the Korban itself, is what's important with regards to the Avodah. So therefore the Balim can have a Machshava that impacts on the Korban, even though they're not the Oveid. By Shabbat, the primary focus is not the object upon which the malacha is being done, but rather the oved malacha, the one who is doing the malacha, and therefore an external machshava can't have impact over there. And that's how we would distinguish between Shabbat and Avodah Zarah, as well as Kodoshim. There's no conclusion. The Gemara just says that our Mishnah does not follow that opinion of Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yossi, but Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yossi, Zadat Yechid. The Gemara grouped them together with two other Tanaim. The Gemara then backs away from that and says maybe he's not the same opinion as the other two Tanaim, even though technically they have the same conceptual framework where you can have a machshava by one that impacts on another. Nevertheless, we can show you that they're all different. And just because Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yossi says this by Kodashim doesn't mean he says it by the other areas. Therefore, it's not all kula and shita achat. Even though we put them together, in the end, the Gemara rejects putting them together. And it means that there's a possibility the halacha could be like him. But the Gemara never paskins that way. And therefore, the Stam Mishnah will govern in this case. And their balim cannot have a makshava that is posel. Okay, with that, we finish Perek Beit Shammai, Hadron Halach Beit Shammai. And now we begin Ezum Mikoman, which is really going to give us the broad overview of the different character traits and particularities of each of the korbanot that are found. The Gemara will discuss the order a little bit, but basically the Mishnayot start from what are the most kodesh, or the more significant korbanot, and then it moves down to the lightest form of korbanot. So we're going to start out with the Parir V'Seir, so Yom HaKippurim, and we're going to end with the Pesach, the Maser, and the Bechor, which again, the lightest form of kodoshim. All right, so now the Mishnah begins, Ezu Mekoman Shel Zivachim. What is the placement, or where is the location in which one processes a korban? The Mishnah begins with a generic statement about kodshei kodoshim. When it comes to kodshei kodoshim, shchitatan bitzafon. The shchita must be done on the northern side. We spent time on this earlier on in the Masechta, that you have to shecht in the northern side. The shochet doesn't necessarily have to be on the northern side, but the nishchat the korban itself must be on the northern side, and the shechita has to be carried out in a northern side for kodshei kodashim. That's true across the board for kodshei kodashim. The Gemara asks, why didn't the mission over here include other common denominators between the kodashim? The assumption would be this is the common denominator between them. Everything else is a differentiated aspect. That's why the Mishnah begins with that which is common between them. Then it goes on to explain the differences between them. That is part v'seir shiyom ha-kipurim, which are obviously kodshei kodashim. Shkitatan b'tzafon. Their shkita is done in tzafon, as we would have expected based on the statement before that kodshei kodashim shkitatan b'tzafon. V'kibol daman b'kli sharet b'tzafon. And then the kabbalat adam is done with the kli sharet in the north as well. Again, earlier in the Masechta we discussed how you know that kabbalat adam has to be done on the tzafon, partly because of the juxtaposition between shkita and kabbalah. But here, Mishnah introduces a new concept, which is Kli Sharet. In the first case, it says Shkitatan B'Tzafon. Shkita is done in the north. Over here, it says the Kabbalat Dam is done in the north, but it must be done with a Kli Sharet. Based on that, you can see the Baal Tosfot over here bring from Rabbeinu Ephraim. Rabbeinu Ephraim, Midaktek Mikan, Plobin and Sakin, B'Shkita. You don't need a Sakin, you don't need a knife to do the Shkita. Because of the fact that the Mishnah never demands that it be done with a Kli Sharet. The fact that it only says it by Kabbalat Dam and not by Shchita indicates that Shchita does not require a Kli Sharet. And therefore you could use a Kromit Shel Kaneh. You could use a very sharp reed to do the Shchita, which is kosher by Shchita, but would not qualify as a Kli Sharet. So that's Rabbeinu Ephraim's diyuk, or the halachic implication that's drawn from the fact that there's no Kli Sharet mentioned by Shchita. The Baal HaBeit Tosafot then go on to bring some other supportive indications that Rabbeinu Ephraim is right. But in the end, they say, V'yavshar l'markein. Can't say that, because it brings marot that seem to indicate otherwise that there is a requirement for kli in these instances. And one of his pieces of evidence is later on in the Mishnayot with regards to the Kodshim Kalim, where there is Kabbalat Adam mentioned, but it does not mention Kabbalat Adam v'kli sharet. Nevertheless, we know that Kabbalat Adam for Kodshim Kalim also require Kli Sharet, so that means that it's not definitive. Just because you don't mention Kli Sharet doesn't mean that you don't need a Kli Sharet. And the reason it's mentioned over here with regards to the Kodshei Kodashim is either to tell you that there is an obligation to do it particularly in the Tzafon, and that's what it's coming to indicate, Kli Sharet b'Tzafon, or it's coming to be a Fuke, where we're going to see in the Gemara, the Mitzora, that doesn't require a Kli Sharet, so here it has to make that statement. But by the case of the Kodshim Kalim, where there's no need for Tzafon, and there's no other Korban that has Kabbalah B'Yad, over there they didn't need to mention the Kli Sharet. But then he has to reconcile with the indications in the Gemara that you can use in other places a Kromit Shel Kaneh, that you can use a reed. He suggests that maybe that's according to the opinion, use wooden Kelim to be Ra'oi for Kli Sharet. Everybody agrees that metallic Kelim can make Kli Sharet. The question is, are wooden kelim considered to be kli sharet? So he says maybe it's according to the Mandamar that wooden kelim are considered to be kli sharet, and there is a necessity for kli sharet in order to do the shchita. Although he brings a tosefta, which seems to indicate clearly that you can use a kromit shel kaneh, and that's as opposed to a kli sharet, the Baal Tosafot try to thread the needle over there and suggest, all it's saying is not that you don't need a kli sharet, just that you don't need a full-fledged kli sharet. You don't need a beautiful kli. You don't need all of the normal hidur mitzvah that you associate with bringing the korbanot because of the rhetorical question that's found in the pasuk. Hakriveu na lepechatcha. Would you bring your worst items, the things that are not appropriate, and expect Hashem to accept them? So therefore, there's a demand that you bring the nicest or the best before Kodesh Baruch Hu. So maybe all the Tosafot is saying is you don't have to have the most beautiful knife. You can even use a knife that is less than stellar. It doesn't necessarily mean that you don't need a Kli Sharet. So now after you have the Kabbalat Adam Kli Sharet in the northern side, Tamon Taon Hazaya. The Dam has to be taken then into the Kodesh HaKodeshim and requires Hazayot, the sprinkling of the Dam, Al Ben Abadim, between the poles of the Aron, whereby he does Achat Amala V'Sheva Lamato. He does it, the Keneged, the Kaporet of the Aron, but the Dam falls before the Aron itself. And then afterwards, the Kohen Gadol leaves the Kodesh HaKodeshim and does Achat Amala and Sheva Lamata in front of the Parochet Keneged the Aron. That's Ala Parochet. V'al Mizbach HaZahav. And also on the Mizbeach HaKitoret, Mizbeach HaZahav, he also does the Matanot, the four corners, as well as the seven antiaros shel mizbeach, matana achat mehen ma'akevet. If you miss any one of these matanot, it is ma'akev, and you have not accomplished the kapara of the korban. Sheirei adam, the residual dam that was nitkabel, but not used in the hazayot, hayashafeich hayisod ma'aravi shel mizbeach chitzon. You pour it onto the yisod on the western side of the mizbeach chitzon. That's because they were holes to pour the dam into, both on the western side as well as the southern side, meaning the southwestern corner. Whichever one of those two yisodot, or holes in the yisod, was closer to you, that's where you pour the sheirei adam. So for someone exiting the Kodesh HaKodoshim, whereby you are exiting towards the western side of the Mizbeach, then the closest point for you to place that sheirei adam is in the western pipe on the yisod. That's what it means. The sheirei adam are put on the western side. For korbanot that are done on the Mizbeach Chitzon, when you descend from the ramp on the southern side of the Mizbeach, then the southern side of the Yisod will be the closest point to do it. So here you'll see for the Korbanot that are done B'Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKodeshim, the Yisod HaMa'aravi will be where you pour the sheirei adam. For those Korbanot that are done on the Mizbeach Chitzon, then the sheirei adam would be poured on the Yisod Dromi. But nevertheless, even though there's a requirement of the sheirei adam being placed there, Im lo natan, lo ikev. You don't do it, it's not me'akev. So that is the shita of the Stam Mishnah here. Again, earlier we saw in the previous parak, and we're going to see again in this parak, there's a machloked as to whether the sheirei adam are me'akev or not me'akev the kapara. Parim and Israfim, Visirim and Israfim. So we first dealt with Par v'Seir Shom Kippurim. Now we deal with their compatriots, again, that we mentioned in the previous parak, where there are many hekeshot and limudim that go between them. Here you have the parim and israfim, which includes the par umdav shel tzibur, as well as the par kohen mashiach. And the sirim and israfim, which is a reference to the sirei avodah zarah, that are parallel to the par umdav shel tzibur. All these korbanot that are called nisrafim, because they are not placed on the mizbeach. There's a demand for the basar to be burnt, michutz l'machaneh. The parim nisrafim, sirim nisrafim, shchitatan b'tzafon. Once again, the shchita is done on the northern side. B'kibo daman b'kli sharet b'tzafon. You have to do the kabbalat adam into a kli sharet on the northern side. B'daman ta'un hazayah. Their hazayot are done ala parochet. They don't go into the kodesh ha-kodeshim, they only go into the kodesh. And they do the hazot adam connected the aron, opposite the aron, in front of the parochet. And there they do seven matanot, and then al mizbech hazav. Afterwards, they move to mizbech hazav, and they do hazayot on the four corners of the mizbech hazav. Matana achat me'en ma'akevet. Once again, any single matana would be me'akev, the kapara over here. Sherei adam, hayeshufech hayisod ma'aravi, shel mizbech hachitzon. Similar to what we saw in the previous Mishnah, so too over here, the residual dam from the kabbalat adam that wasn't used in hazayot is poured onto the Yisod HaMa'aravi, because you're exiting from the Eichal, so therefore the western side be closest to you. You know, Dan lo yikev. And once again here, the Tana believes if you don't put the sheirei adam on the Yisod and pour them there, it's not me'akev the kapara. It's a mitzvah to do it, but not me'akev the kapara. Elu ve'elu nisrafim abet adashin. Now here, elu ve'elu, you can read one of two ways. You can either read elu ve'elu as referencing to both the parim nisrafim and the sirim nisrafim, meaning internally in this Mishnah, or Elu Velu can refer to the Par Seir Sheyom Kippurim and the Parim Esrafim and Sirim Esrafim. Meaning in both of these two Mishnayot, the same din is true by all of these Korbanot, which is that the Korban, or the animal itself, is burnt in the Beit HaDeshen. As Rashi notes over here, when we speak about the Beit HaDeshen, we're speaking about the place where they burn these korbanot, as well as where they place the Hotzat HaDeshen. When they take the Deshen off the Mizbeach and they bring it out, you have to bring it out to the Beit HaDeshen. There were more than one Beit HaDeshen. There was a Beit HaDeshen in the Azara itself, one on Har HaBayit, and then one outside of Yerushalayim. The one that we're referencing over here is the one outside of Yerushalayim, as Rashi notes. That's maybe Chutz L'Shlosh Machanot. That's be outside the three Machanot. That's Machne Shechina, Machane Leviyah, and Machane Yisrael, which the equivalent of the Tanya Mikdash is the Azara itself, Har HaBayit, and Yerushalayim. So Yerushalayim is the equivalent of Machane Yisrael. So if you have to be outside the Shlosh Machanot, then you have to do the same thing over here. You have to take it outside the Machane on the eastern side of the city, and you put it in the place of the Shefach HaDeshen, in the place where they put the Deshen that's taken off the Mizbeach. The only problem, as Rashi notes over here, is that the requirement for this deshen is not mentioned, except by Par Kohen Mashiach. By Par Kohen Mashiach, it specifies particularly where you have to put the deshen, and that is, the pasuk says, הוציא את כל הפר אל מחוץ למחנה, אל מקום טהור, אל שפך הדשן, the place where you dump the dashen, ושרף אותו על עצים באיש, אל שפך הדשן יישרף. So there it is, a specific location which is indicated to you where you're going to put the dashen. And Rashi says over here, based on that, we learn the par helam dover shel tzibur from par kohen Mashiach. Because by the par helam dover shel tzibur, it says, הוציא את הפר מחוץ למחנה, ושרף אותו כאשר שרף את הפר ראשון חטאת הקהל הוא. You'll do it like you did by the par kohen Mashiach. That's the hekesh, the par kohen Mashiach. And then from par helam dover shel tzibur, you're going to learn a hekesh to Yom HaKippurim, Kedermina v'perk Beit Shammai. Lapar, Zepar Yom HaKippurim. Yom HaKippur is mentioned by the Parlam Dover Shel Tzibor. Just like the Parlam Shavadar Shel Tzibor, which is learned from the Par Kohen Mashiach, has a requirement of putting it on the Shefech Hadesh and outside the Shalosh Machanot, so do the Par Shel Yom HaKippurim. And similarly, the Seir of Avodah Zarah will be learned from the Parlam Dover Shel Tzibor. So that's where Rashi says, learn that from the Par Shel Kohen Mashiach to Par Shalom David Tzibur, and then you could extrapolate from Asa Par Kasher Asa Par to Par Yom HaKippurim. Then Achatat, which we also learned was the Seer of Avodah Zarah, you can have a Hekesh here. The Baalei Tosafot are very bothered by this Limud of Rashi, because the fact that it is a Hekesh Lehekesh. The original Limud for Par Yom HaKippurim Tzibur is learned from a Hekesh from Par Kohen Mashiach. And then you're extrapolating from Par Kohen Mashiach to other Korbanot, like Par Yom HaKippurim and the Seer of Avodah Zarah. That's your classic case of Hekesh Lehekesh. And we know by a Kodashim, you cannot make a limud through Hekesh Lehekesh. How's that the source for what's being said here in the Mishnah? So the Baalei Tosafot attempt to explain it either through what we saw in Perek Beit Shammai, that the extraneous nature of the Pasuk that's found in Parlam Dover Shel Tzibur makes it as if it's literally written by the Parlam Dover Shel Tzibur, that Rashi believes that Tzayet HaPar Mechutz LaMachaneh, the fact that it mentions something that we already know, that you have to do the par exactly like the other par, and it mentions it again, that tells you, or makes it as if it's written literally by Parlam Dover Shel Tzibur. That's what you have to say on behalf of Rashi, although the Baalei Tosafot don't like that answer. The Baalei Tosafot favor saying that it's actually not a limud through Hekesh, but a limud through Giloi Milta. And that is by the Parlam Dover Shel Tzibur. It says, הוציא את הפר מחוץ למחנה, ושרף אותו כאשר שרף את הפר ראשון חטאת הקהל הוא. There is already a defined term here in the Parshas Dover Shel Tzibur, which is הוציא את הפר מחוץ למחנה. You have to take it out of the machane. Then, ושרף אותו כאשר שרף את הפר ראשון, you'll do it like you did by the par kohen Mashiach. That's the hekesh, the par kohen Mashiach. חטאת הקהל הוא. It does say over here, הוציא את הפר מחוץ למחנה, as well as by the par shel Yom HaKippurim, it says, פר החטאת וזעיר החטאת אשר הובא תמם לכפר בקודש, יוציאו מחוץ למחנה, ושרפו באש את אורתם ואת בשרם ואת פרשם. ושורף אותם יכבס בגדיו וחץ בשרו במים וכן גבוה המחנה. So by both the Parlam Dover Shel Tzibur and Kippur Tzibur and Kippurim, the Torah does say that they have to be nisrafim, number one. Number two is the nisrafim have to be mechutz lemachane. The only question we have is, which machane are we speaking about and where do you have to do it? And so what the Baalei Tosafot suggests is that which is written by the Par Kohen Mashiach, which tells us that it's done El Shefach Hadeshen, which means Chutz L'Shlosh Machanot, which was either on the eastern or northern side of Yerushalayim, where the Shefach Hadeshen is put, that Limut, that Giloi Milta, by the Par Kohen Mashiach, that teaches us what it means to burn these things outside of the Machaneh, we will then apply that to these other Korbanot. And that means that it's not really learned through a Hekesh, it's not even learned through a Gzer Shava. Learn through a Gilui Milto. The Torah defines for you in one place what it means to take the item, Michutz Lamachaneh, and burn it. And once we have a definition, we can apply that definition to all of these Korbanot, where it specifies that they have to be taken Michutz Lamachaneh. We'll use the definition that's given by the Par Kohen Mashiach. That's the way that the Baalei Tosafot think that the source for Elu Be'elu Nisrafim Be'et Hadashen comes about. Okay, now the Gemara asks a question about the beginning of the Mishnah, which gives you a klal by Kodshei Kodashim. Why doesn't the Mishnah say, not only does Kodshei Kodashim have a principle that is common between them, which is Shchitatan Bitzafon, it should also be true of the fact that Kibul Daman B'Klisharet Bitzafon is also common to all the Kodshei Kodashim. So why wasn't that included in the generic introduction to Kodshei Kodashim? It says, Kevan Deika Hashem Mitzora, the Kibul Damo B'Yad, who? So because it cannot be a definitive statement, by Shechita you can make a definitive statement that everything requires Tzafon or Shechita Tan B'Tzafon. By Kabbalat Adam, that's not necessarily true. There is an exception to the rule, and that's an Hashem Mitzorah, which is Kodshei Kodoshim. Nevertheless, Kabbalat Adam is not done in a Kli Sharet, but rather done into the hand of the Kohen. Given the fact that it's not a definitive statement by all Kodshei Kodoshim, it couldn't put it in the introduction, the generic demands that are placed on all Kodshei Kodoshim. Velo, is that really true? Vaktani, Lok Lekaman. Wait a minute. If you really remember the Mishnah later on, it says, Shibche Shal Mitzibor V'Ashamot, and then it gives a list of the Ashamot. Included in that list are Asham Nazir V'Asham Mitzora. So Asham Mitzora is mentioned there. And in that Mishnah it says, Shchitatan B'Tzafon, Shchitat is done on the northern side, V'Kibol Daman B'Kli Sharet B'Tzafon, and explicitly says that the Kabbalat Adam is done in a Kli Sharet. You're telling me the whole reason we left it out of the generic statement about Kodshei Kodashim is because Hashem Mitzorah has Kabbalat Adam B'Yad. Well, you go to the Mishnah that speaks about the Hashem Mitzorah and it says it has Kabbalat Adam that's done into a Kli Sharet. So that's just not true. And it happens to be there are opinions that you do B'Yad, but the author of these Mishnayot doesn't feel that way. If he doesn't think that the way, why didn't he in the beginning here say, not only Shkitatan B'Tzafon, but Kibbul Daman B'Kli Sharet B'Tzafon? So my answer is, me cover Savar Rabbi originally thought, Kibol B'damo B'yadu, that the Kabbalat Adam by the Hashem Mitzorah is done B'yad, Shayare, and therefore he left it out. Kevan Delo Sagile, since it's not sufficient to do all the Kabbalat Adam B'yad, Ela B'kli, but you need a Kli to do it as well, Hadar Tanya, therefore he included it in the Mishnah that dealt with Hashem Mitzorah. Very interesting conceptually what's happening over here. It's interesting only because Rabbi's the Mesader of all the Mishnayot, and he probably had thought through them originally. So it must be that there was a Mesorah of some sort that the first Mishnah didn't have the Kibbul Daman B'Kli B'Tzafon. The later Mishnah by Hashemot does have it included. And based on that, we're now trying to explain retroactively what Rabbi was thinking or why that happened. That's because originally we thought it was sufficient to have Kabbalat Adam B'Yad, and then we find out that you also need a Kli, the Tanya. Eva Breita, Vilakach, Yochol Bikili. When it comes to the Nekichat Adam, in order to do the Netinat Adam on the Mitzorah, it says there by Mitzorah, Vilakach, Yochol Bikli. You think you do the Kabbalat Adam Bikli, Tamalomar Vinatan, that he has to get the blood and then put it on the Mitzorah. Ma Netina Ve'atzmo Shel Kohen, just like the placement of the blood on the Mitzorah itself, has to be done by the Kohen himself. Af lekicha be'atzmo shel Kohen. So too, the lekicha has to be done be'atzmo shel Kohen, which means the kibbul daman has to be done into the hand of the Kohen, not into a kli sharet. Yochol af lemizbeach kein. You would think that that is true not only for the Kabbalat Adam that's going towards the Mitzorah himself, but also for the Kabbalat Adam that's going to the matnot on the mizbeach, the shtayim shein arba that are required of the Hashem Mitzorah. Tamalomar kicha chatat Hashem hu. The chatat and the Hashem are parallel. Ma chatat to unakli. Just like the chatat requires kibul daman b'kli sharet b'tzafon, af Hashem to unkli. So too, the Hashem requires kibul daman b'kli sharet b'tzafon. Nimseita ta'omer. From this, the Brayta says you would conclude, Hashem mitzorah shnei kohanim mekabli metomo. The kabbalat adam by the Hashem mitzorah is done by two kohanim. Echad bayad, echad b'kli. One bayad to take that dam and then place it on the mitzorah himself. And one b'kli to do the matnot on the mizbeach achitzon. Zeh shekiblo b'kli balo etzal mizbeach achitzon etash shtayim shenarba. Zeh shekiblo b'yad balo etzal mitzorah. And the one who does the kabbalat adam in his hand then takes it over to the mitzorah to place it on the mitzorah himself. Now Rashi says over here, how do you know that by mitzorah there is a requirement for the kabbalat to be done b'yad? And that is not true by the case of chatat. That is because he says, Ma netina batzmo shel kohen be'etzba'o. How do you know the fact that by the netina ta kohen a mitzorah, it has to be done with his own finger? Dichtiv, etzba gabe shemen. Because by the shemen it says that you use the etzba of the kohen, ve'olif dam minei. And you learn out dam from that. Which is very interesting, which is the fact that with the loga shemen that is brought by the mitzorah, is used by the kohen. He pours it into his hand, and then from his hand, he dips his finger in it and sprinkles it seven times, keneged heichal, and then he places it on the right ear of the mitzorah, the right thumb of the mitzorah, and the right big toe of the mitzorah. So there you know for sure there's a requirement of etzba, because it says, that he pours the oil into his left hand, and then he dips his right finger into that and does this matnot dam. But the dam itself, we never find any requirement of etzpa. All we have is belakach venatan. How do you know that that nitina is a nitina be'etzpa? So Rashi says there's a, in a sense, correlation, whether it's a binyanav or a hekesh of sorts, that teaches you that, just like by the Sheminah was done this way, so too by the dam it should be done this way. So the matnot Sheminah are done be'etzpa. So the matnot dam should also be done by etzba because the placement of the matnot dam is in the same location as where the matnot shemen were placed. Just like the shemen is placed on the ear, the thumb, and the big toe, so too the dam is placed in those same locations. The truth is that the dam is placed there first. It's actually, as we saw in the previous parak, a prerequisite for the ability to put the shemen there is you need the dam in those locations first. Nevertheless, since the shemen, when it's placed there, is done by etzba, so too we're going to say the same thing by the matnot dam. Then Tosafot questions Rashi's logic over here, and he says, "Here's Bukutris miniktiv etzba gabi shemen vayelif dam minayu v'teima im ken avi hekesh mibinyanav." And that's one of the things we're going to see later on in the perek, where the Gemara is going to discuss all different forms of limudim, whether you're allowed to use them in kodoshim. Again, we know for sure that hekesh to hekesh cannot be used, and we also know for sure that gezerah shava to gezerah shava can be used. But other types of limudim, like a hekesh from a binyanav, the Gemara is going to query about that, whether it can be used. And over here, Rashi seemingly is saying that you have a binyanav from Natan of the Shemen to the Natan of the Dam, and then you have a Hekesh from the Netina of the Dam to the Kicha of the Dam. And that's a Hekesh from a binyanav. And that's how you know you have to do it with your hand. The Baal Tosafot say that's not the way to do the Limud. The Limud is actually a binyanav to a binyanav. And the binyanav is the way the Netina is done, so too the Kicha is done. Meaning that in every korban, we're going to correlate between the netinat adam and the kichat adam. So that's your first binyanav. And then your second binyanav will be that by shemen it's done this way, so too it's going to be done by dam. And that's how you get the limud that in the Kabbalah and the netinat adam here has to be done biyad and etzba shel hakohen. But then the Baal Tosafot do point out there's somewhat of a problem here because the same source that you're using to learn this by the mitzorah, you can also use to learn it by a chatat. By a mitzorah, you're saying that velakach v'natan, the netina is done by etzba, therefore the kicha, the kabbalah, must be done by etzba. Well, chatat, matnot, dam, are done by etzba. If that's the case, then the kicha also should be done by etzba. And by the chatat, it's v'natan by etzba, you have to put it on with your finger. And nevertheless, we don't say velakach, the kabbalah, the dam, is done into his hand. So the Baal Tosafot, in the end, say that there is a distinction because, so Tosafot first explained that maybe it's because velakach v'natan is a yitura dekra, because by Mitzorah, it says it twice, once by the Mitzorah Ani, one by the Mitzorah Ashir. But then he gives a more fundamental distinction, which is, it says there, V'lakach midam achatat be'etzba'o v'natan. And so therefore it says that the lekichat adam is be'etzba'o, and then there's the netina. And therefore it cannot be a kabbalah b'yad, because there's no way you can do the kabbalat adam on a single etzba. You would have to have a whole yad. And therefore you can't explain the word etzba over there to create a correlation that the Kabbalat Adam should be done by the Yad. But by the Asham, the Etzba is not written by the Lekicha, it's written by the Netina. And therefore the Lakach by the Asham can be a reference to the whole Yad of the Kohen, not just the Etzba'o, which would make it impossible to have a Kabbalat Adam, because you can't do Kabbalat Adam by Etzba. Although the Meshul Chokhmah points out another more fundamental distinction, which is that by the case of the Mitzorah, in each of the instances it says, the Lakach HaKohen and V'natan HaKohen. Therefore, there's an association between the Kohen and the Lekicha Netina, as opposed to the Lekicha Netina that are written by the Chatat, that don't mention the Kohen at all. And that association of the Kohen with the Lekicha Netina is what tells you that it must be done by Tzmo Shel Kohen. Now, Rashi then says, how do you know by the Chatat that that's not true, especially given the fact, as the Baal Tosafot point out, that the Lakach V'natan also appears by the Chatat. So Rashi gives one explanation, the Afina Lekicha Lekicha B'Torat Kohenim. And we learn it out from Gzer Shavah of the Kicha Lekicha. K'tiv b'chatat, by the chatat it says, V'lakach ha-kohen midam ha-chatat, u'chtiv b'olat Sinai. The olot that are brought in Perichav Dalin in Shmot, Parshat Mishpatim, that describes the people at the base of the mountain, over there when they're entering into the covenant, they bring both olot and shlamim, and those olot, which are olot Sinai, say about them, V'ikach Moshe chatzi adam, takes half the blood, V'yasim ba'aganot. Then he puts them into the utensils, capturing mechanisms, in order to place them on the Mizbeach or sprinkle them on the Mizbeach. So you see that it requires Kli. Just like by the Olot Sinai requires Kli, so too by the Chatat, there's a requirement for Kli. Once again, here the Dalei Tosafot are questioning this in Tema. Because you now are saying that the Gzer Sheva Lekicha Lekicha teaches you from Alot Sinai to Chatat, and then from Chatat to Hashem, you're using the Hekesh of Kachatat Hashamo. So now you're using a Gzer Sheva to a Hekesh, which once again, the Gemara later on is going to question whether that is a efficacious form of Limud to be used in Kodoshim. Right, first of all, then disagree with this view of Rashi. First of all, they say that you don't have to learn it out of Gzer Sheva Lekicha Lekicha, but rather through a Hekesh. There's a Hekesh of Zota Torah, which brings all the Korbanot together. And since by Olot and by Shlamim that are mentioned by Sinai, there's a requirement of Kli, then you can extend it to the other Korbanot that are there. Which then would be a Hekesh the Hekesh, because you have a Hekesh from the Olot of Sinai, then to the Kachatat Hashamhu, that would be another Hekesh. But that's not necessarily true, because there in Zota Torah, not only is it mentioned Chatat, it also mentions the Hasham. So there you could learn them directly. Well then, why do you need Kachatat HaShamhu? So then why do you need that pasuk to teach you that the Hasham has the din? You could learn it out of Zot HaTorah. That's because you might have thought Hasham was different, because many of the traits of the Hasham are differentiated. And given that differentiation, you might have thought that so too, Kli is not required by the Hasham itself. Since you require Yad to do the Matnot on the Mitzvah himself, maybe that would be true by the Mizbeach. So along comes Kachatat HaShamhu, just to tell you, no, Hasham here is treated the same way as a Chatat for the Mizbeach, meaning that you go back to that Hekesh that we have by Zot HaTorah, and you can learn Hasham directly from the Olah or the Shlamim, the same way the Chatat is learned from the Olah or the Shlamim. Alright, we're going to stop here at the bottom of Mem Zayin Amud Bet.